Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet. It's that time we take out of every day to lift up your needs, cares, concerns before the Lord. If you have a prayer request for us today, 419-389-0893, 419-389-0893. That is the number to call or text. You can call or text that number to get your prayer request known, or you can email or text to prayer@yeshome.com. Either way, let us know what you are going to, what's on your mind today. And we will pray for you. Doesn't matter whether it's something big, it may be something small, or to bring everything before the Lord. All of our lives belong to Him. And maybe have a praise today. Maybe you're celebrating something God has done. Maybe God has answered a prayer and you want to give Him praise for that, or let us know. You know, we prayed for you earlier and God answered that prayer. Let us know. It's always a great encouragement and it's always good to give praise to the Lord. So whatever it may be, a need, a praise, 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can come together to pray for one another, to encourage each other, to build each other up in the Word. Lord, to know that we can come before you as our good and gracious Father who loves us, who cares for us, and who's ready to meet our every need, because you are good and gracious and holy and just. And so we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all glory today, because indeed you are worthy of our praise, worthy to be celebrated, worthy to have honor and glory. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 or prayer@yeshome.com. And before we get into the Word of God, or before we get into prayer, we always like to get into the Word of God to give ourselves just get our hearts ready, focused, and ready for prayer. And today we're going to be in the book of Jeremiah, the great prophet Jeremiah. In chapter 51, Jeremiah is preaching against Babylon. Now, in the most of Jeremiah is about Israel going into captivity. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he was the one, the final prophet to come to Israel and basically say it's over. All the other prophets were there to warn Israel, if you don't change your ways, if you don't turn, if you don't come back to the Lord, you're going to, you know, these bad things are going to happen. And warnings against idolatry, warnings against, you know, their sin. But there was still time, right? There was still time to turn things around, still time to kind of turn things back. They hadn't yet crossed the line where, the line of no return, the point of no return. There was always some hope, although it got more and more urgent, as time went along. By the time we get to Jeremiah, it's too late. God's like, this is it. You're done. You're going into captivity. I've run out of patience with you, and this is what's going to happen. So Jeremiah is often called the weeping prophet because he really didn't want to give that message. He didn't want to see Jerusalem fall. He loved Jerusalem. He loved Israel. He wanted to see the nation preserved. And, you know, at one point he even said, I can't do this anymore. I can't give this message anymore. Everybody hates me for it. Nobody wants to hear from me. I hate giving this message. But he said, it's like a fire in my bones. I cannot keep it within me. You know, it was the word that God had given him, and he just had to give it, even though he hated it, and people hated him for giving it. And so much of Jeremiah deals with Jeremiah's prophecy against Israel and against Judah. Actually, you know, by this time it was just Judah. But, you know, things are just, you're going into exile. You're going to Babylon. The Babylonians are coming. They're going to overtake you. They're the instrument of God's judgment against you, and you're going into exile. And then he had to tell him, and not only are you going into exile, you're going there for a long time, because other prophets are saying, well, you're just going, but you in a year we'll be back. In a year we'll be back in Jerusalem. Don't worry about it, people. And he's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. 70 years. Go ahead. Plant yourself down in the city. Get married. Have children. Continue on, because you're not coming back. This generation will pass away, and then God will bring you back. but it's going to be a while. So that was kind of the context of it. So much of Jeremiah is, you know, his prophesying against Israel. But toward the end, here in verse 51, he turns his sights on Babylon. And I point this out because, you know, Babylon in that day represented everything wrong, right? The evil, pagan, godless people. Well, not really godless, but they had the false gods. Everything that was bad, you know, it seemed like, why are the wicked, you know, the wicked and the evil prospering over God's people? And throughout the Bible, Babylon has come to represent, you know, the oppressive powers, the evil powers. And at times, when we look around, it can seem like we're in a similar time where evil is winning, where godlessness is winning, where people just turned away from God. And no longer care about him. Just yesterday I was listening, it was a sports radio actually, and two radio hosts were talking, and I don't know how they got on the subject. I don't remember they were even talking about. But they ended up talking about church. And the one guy saying, you know, how long it had been since he had been in church. The other girl saying, yeah, it was, you know, same way. And when he had been raised Catholic, she had been raised Baptist. But neither one had really darkened the door of a church for a long time. And they just kind of said it lightheartedly and you know, moved on. They weren't, you know, making comments about it. Just, yeah, whatever, we don't go anymore. It's just, you know, mom and dad took us, but now we're grown and we just don't even bother. And, of course, the difference was, or what struck me about it is just the casualness of it. You know, it's like, eh, whatever. There was no, they weren't like, oh, I hate the church. The church is awful. You know, it wasn't like, oh, the church is terrible. They were just like, yeah, we just don't go anymore. Which represents so much of our culture. It's just like, they just, yeah, it's whatever. It's not important. It doesn't matter. They're not necessarily angry at the church. Not necessarily mad at it. They're just like, yeah. We got other things we care about. And so much of our culture is just kind of, you know, I think all them the nuns, you know, it's just like, yeah, whatever. If they're not actively against the church, they're completely indifferent to it. You know, so you have that one group, the indifferent group, and then you have the other group that is, you know, there is a smaller group, but they're vocal, very anti-church, anti-Christian, targeting Christians, seeking to, you know, assault our religious liberties and our freedoms. You know, and they're an anti-Christian. And it seems like sometimes these people have all the cultural power. They have all the power to do what they want to do. And no one's stopping them. And they get away with it. And we see, you know, just our monolithic pop culture, which is a very secular culture. You know, it's a very sexualized, secular, godless culture. I mean, that's a good way to say it, of what our mainstream pop culture is, in which any call to morality or godliness is ridiculed. And not just ridiculed, but you know, it's gone beyond just saying, oh, you know, that's, you're just stupid Puritan, you're repressed. To saying you're evil and wicked, right? How dare you try to impose your morality on us, even though they're imposing their morality or lack thereof on everyone else. There is a kind of new religion that has emerged. And the tenets of this new religion are to be your true to yourself, to your authentic self, which means giving in to your every desire. Your every desire should be met, and anything that inhibits your desires or pleasures is seen as evil. And this is where we are. And it seems like they have all the power in our culture today. And it can get depressing just thinking about it. As they're trying to silence any other voice and prevent them from speaking. But that's where Jeremiah comes in. I didn't forget about Jeremiah. So the Babylonians are coming. They're coming in might and power. They're dragging the church off. And by this time, they've already started to do so. By the time Jeremiah is writing here, they've already started to drag the people off. The fall of Jerusalem is coming in the very next chapter. The city's about to collapse. People have already been exiled into Babylon. The city, Jerusalem itself, is about ready to collapse when Jeremiah gives these words. He says, "But the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish her idols, and throughout her land the wounded will groan. Even if Babylon reaches the sky and fortifies her lofty stronghold, I will send destroyers against her, declares the Lord. The sound of a cry comes from Babylon, the sound of great destruction from the land of the Babylonians. The Lord will destroy Babylon. He will silence her noisy din. Waves of enemies will rage like great waters, and the roar of their voices will resound. A destroyer will come against Babylon. Her warriors will be captured, and their bows will be broken. For the Lord is a God of retribution. He will repay in full. I will make her officials and wise men drunk, her governors and officers and warriors as well, and they will sleep forever and not awake, declares the King, whose name is the Lord Almighty." At the very height of her power, God declares the destruction of Babylon. I was really struck by verse 53, where it says, "Even if Babylon reaches the sky and fortifies her lofty stronghold, I will send destroyers against her." You know, the picture being, even if Babylon realizes all of her dreams of power and fortifies her position so that she looks unassailable, she has gathered all the power that she desired. She's fortified her position. She looks unassailable. No one can down. God says, that is when I will send destroyers against her. Just when they seem strongest, just when they seem unassailable, God comes against the powers of evil and destroys them. To show his might and to show his power. It can get depressing looking at everything that's happening in our culture and our world today and seeing all of the ways that ungodly things are taking over. Seeing all the ways that, Satan is advancing, that sin is advancing. And wondering how are we going to ever defeat this? How are we going to ever beat this? There seems no way. It's too big. It's too strong. There's no way to tear it down. The enemies of God control the culture. They control all the power sources of culture, the power centers of culture. the media, the education, the government. I mean, it seems like they're in control of everything. How could we stand against it?
Not only have they attained all this power, it's they've fortified their strongholds. There's no way to assault it. There's no way to beat it. And that's when God says, yep, now's the time. Here are my destroyers.
Just when the enemy seems unassailable in their power, God comes and tears them down. That's how it works. God comes at that very moment to show that his power is greater, that he is the king whose name is the Lord Almighty. There is no one greater than him. Verse 55, the Lord will destroy Babylon. He will silence her noisy din. Right now, the anti-God culture is a noisy din, but God is getting ready to silence them. And he will. I don't know exactly when. I don't know how. But we know from history, we know from God's work and from his word, that when his enemies seem most unassailable is when he acts to bring them down and to restore his people. So our call is to remain faithful. Our call is to stand strong. Our call is to be bold and courageous with the gospel, to not back down, and to trust that in the end, God will be victorious. He will vindicate his people. He will defend his name. And the strongholds, the lofty strongholds that seem unassailable, will be brought down to the earth and destroyed. And have one request in today. Listener asking for prayer for their daughter. She tested positive for COVID. Lord, we do lift this listener's daughter up to you who has tested positive for COVID. We pray for her, Lord. We pray for her swift and quick recovery. We pray that she not have a serious case, be a very mild case. And Lord, that she would just recover from that very quickly without any complications or issues. And Lord, that you would have her back on her feet and ready to go in no time. And we trust her into your care and pray this in your name. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to the prayer. Remember, if you ever have a prayer request throughout the day, you can always call here Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's folks here who'd be happy to pray with you at 419-389-0893. Or you can email or text your prayer request to us at any time at prayer@yeshome.com. And we'll pray for those on the next prayer closet. Or maybe it's 2 in the morning. You're waking up. You can't, something's weighing on your mind. It's got you worried. It's keeping up at night. You need help. Well, we're here for you then too. Go to our website, yeshome.com. Click on the chat now button, and you can get connected to a live online spiritual coach for a live online chat session. That's available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Because we want to be here for you at all the time and be able to minister to you 24/7. That's what Yes FM is here for. Thank you so much for tuning into the Prayer Closet this morning. Have a fantastic day, and we will see you all tomorrow.